the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In Exodus chapter 15, we find out that the Hebrews have experienced the Passover as death did not take their firstborn. And then we have seen them escape by going by the Red Sea. And in chapter 15, they take time to praise the Lord. And that's what we want to encourage you to do. Be sure and take time to praise the Lord. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, here is the question that Brent and I and Marty and Will love to ask. Where in the world is Alex today?
Well, I greet you from Dallas, Texas. Well, specifically, I think the address is Grapevine, Texas. I am at National Religious Broadcasters, NRB. And I, just a little while ago, I was with Jim Stanley and Colette and Jonathan Coker and Cedra. And the AFR team is down here. And NRB is an event. Bert, you and I have been to it many, many times. And all the ministries, like Dr. Robert Jeffers is here, and Erwin Lutzer, and just lots and lots of great people. I was just in a meeting about an hour ago, and we had prayer for revival in America. Amen. And the Great Commission. And Troy Miller, who's the president of NRB, just an amazing man of God. And so every ministry, every radio ministry, a Christian organization you've ever heard of, probably a few you haven't yet heard of, we're all here to strategize and pray.
Amen. Well, I'm not there this year. I miss it terribly, but I was unable to go, and I would love to be there with you right now, but we're here in Tupelo, and we're holding down the fort, as they say. But
I miss you, brother.
Well, we miss being there. We just love the camaraderie, the fellowship, and all the different things that occur there. And I understand you flew into Dallas from Wichita. Is that right? What took place in Wichita?
Oh, wow.
Now, not Wichita Falls, Texas, but Wichita, Kansas, right?
Well, since last Thursday, I was in Wichita, Kansas, and just wonderful people. Metro East Baptist Church, Pastor Nathan Gunter is there. And I got to give a big shout out to Daniel Hurst. Daniel Hurst is one of the pastoral staff, and he was very responsible for me getting to come. And there were several of the deacons and elders. I think of a guy named Grant Garwood, who worked really hard to help me get out there. And I spoke at a school, Central Christian Academy. We had some kids come to Christ on Friday. That was just amazing. And then over the weekend, I got to speak to the men and many of their sons. We did a parenting seminar, and it was just great. And listen to this. We had people drive from all over Kansas. Some, I believe there were a couple, came from Illinois, drove many, many hours. And yeah, it was a joy to preach and teach. We saw some people get saved. But Bert, everybody wanted to express their love for the American Family Radio Network. Amen. All the great programming. And everybody wanted to ask about you. And a lot of people said some very kind things about Exploring the Word. So the Spirit of God is moving. And let me tell you, it was kind of cold. In fact, in the morning, I would wake up and it would be at or below freezing. But the presence of God was very tangible, very real, and we had a blessed 4 days in Wichita, Kansas.
Amen. The Holy Spirit of God can warm up a place. He really can, even when it's cold. Amen. Outside. Well, one other thing before we get to Exodus 15, today is NRB, this week is NRB, but out at Texas A&M, not far from you guys, at Texas A&M University, Thursday, they're having the Collegiate Day of Prayer. It's a nationwide Amen. Prayer movement that has been around a long time, but in recent years, it is growing. And we talked about it today in a meeting that I was in with, and our own Buddy Smith will be attending that out at College Station. And so we're excited about what God's doing on college campuses. We've heard what he did at Auburn University, Georgia, University of Georgia, Ohio State, other places. And we're asking that God would do a work. Friday, we talked about Gen Z, how they're open to the reality of knowing more about Jesus Christ. And Alex, after talking with the group that I was in, it makes me know and realize that what took place in the Jesus Revolution, that was real, but a lot of the churches were not ready to tweak. And I don't mean tweak their theology, but we're talking about tweaking those things that really, you know, they're just tradition or they're things of preference. And so we committed ourselves this morning. We're going to do our best at AFR to make sure that when God sends his Holy Spirit on a new generation, and I'm praying it's Gen Z, that we will be ready to help them grow in Christ and know their identity and find their purpose in serving the Lord, and praying that the churches will be ready to say, hey, let's do God's work. And so, Alex, I'm excited to be in RB in Texas, but I was also excited about the Collegiate Day of Prayer. Now, it's going to happen on a lot of college campuses, but the national gathering is at Texas A&M. And from what Buddy said, they had the, you know, the venue set, but they had to find a larger one because so many people are coming. That's exciting
Praise
news,
God.
Isn't it?
Well, it really is. It really is. And God is still moving. God is still working. And God still wants to bless and use every upcoming generation. So I'm with you, brother. Let's, you know, some of the church missed out on the revival among youth 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But let's not miss out on it again.
Amen. Well, let's dig in. And this was good. We wanted to share this with you this morning, or this afternoon, I should say. But in Exodus chapter 15, listen to this, and I love it. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then, what then? After they had crossed over the Red Sea, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, now, Alex, notice, they sang the song to the Lord. Now, I want to ask you, in congregational singing, and I can't carry a tune, but I'm telling you, I can know the words, and sometimes I can't sing it with a tune, but I say the words. Listen, it is to the Lord. And a lot of times I think we confuse what singing and worship is. It is to the Lord. Have you ever heard where to do it for an audience of one?
Yeah, I have. I think Adrian Rogers said that. You know, Psalm 106, verse 12, talks about how Israel sang God's praise. And, you know, there are a lot of songs in the Old Testament. You know, in the book of Judges, there's some. But in Exodus 15, the children of the Lord sang, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Now, Bert, I'm going to share some scripture here that is not politically correct or touchy-feely.
In the Bible, huh?
Yeah, we've got to really preach the Bible like it's written. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, I like that because verse 2, God is our strength, our song, our salvation. Bert, before I get to verse 3, preparing for God a habitation, could that dwelling place of the Lord be my heart?
It is. Amen, Alex. And this is what this psalm's this song, I say a psalm, a song, is about. Verses 1 through 5 are about the victory. And it is in our heart. They're singing it, preparing it. Notice the second line in, I will sing to the Lord, for he has what? Triumphed gloriously. Alex, victory. That victory is theirs. And it goes on to talk about that victory that the Lord gave. Notice how many times he is mentioned. In verse 1, the song of the Lord. In verse 1 again, I sang a song to the Lord. In verse 2, the Lord is my strength. Verse 3, the Lord. Verse 3, a second time, the Lord. They're giving praise to the Lord for the victory. So how do you do that? He's prepared that place where? In our heart. God gives us a victory for that reason, doesn't he?
He really does. He does give us a victory. And let me say this. Victories come in the context of battles and struggles.
You mean there's and no victory without a battle?
Well, that's true. And, Bert, I'm old enough to remember back in the late 80s when they were talking about they wanted to remove from the hymn book Onward Christian Soldiers, because that was militaristic or whatever. Hey, believe me, we are in the Lord's army, and we are in a battle. And I'm going to read verse 3, and let's comment on it. It says, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. Bert, comment, if you would, on verse 3, Exodus 15:3.
He is the man of war because it is a battle. I mean, the whole Bible talks about it with from Adam and Eve in the garden all the way through the Apostle Paul. Those things I want to do, those things I don't want to do. It is a battle. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? So it's a battle. And there's people today, Alex, they want a luxury ship when honestly the Christian life is a battleship. And we need to man our station. And you remember what it said in Nehemiah? It says that every place you find your place on the wall and you occupy your space. I'm a big basketball fan. I tried to play basketball in high school. But anyway, I love those men, especially guys down under the goal. And they can't maybe not jump very high. Sometimes they're, you know, not as good. But they occupy their space. What does that mean? They take care of what their job is at that point. So here it is. The Lord is a man of war. It says that we need to march with him. We're in the Lord's army, and we do it in victory. And who's his name? The Lord is his name. It's pretty.
The Lord Almighty.
It is. Alex, it is vivid that this battle is of the Lord. David and Goliath, Joshua, and all through the Bible, the victories and the battles are always there.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people assume that God is just this kindly old grandfather up in the sky. And look, God is love, and God is grace, and God is very patient with us. But, you know, I looked up the word there in verse 3, Exodus 15:3. The Lord, and that's Yahweh, God Almighty, is a man of war. And the Hebrew word, guess what it means? It means war. It means battle, conflict, fighting. Now, okay, in 2 Thessalonians 2, it says that the devil and his coming Antichrist is, quote, the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself over every so-called God or object of worship, so that he sits down in the temple of God, proclaiming that he himself is God. See, Satan tried to overthrow heaven. Satan has raised up demons and humans to fight God. And Almighty God, the eternal God, he fights back, doesn't he?
He really does. And we're going to look at the rest of this chapter. Remember, as we go through it, this battle, the fighting is for you. The Lord is on your side, wanting you to walk in victory, and it only comes through a relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll be back with more right after this break. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all a part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
And the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." Oh, the enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine." The enemy thought he had me, but Jesus said, "You are mine."
Praise God. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. We're in Exodus chapter 15. You know, Bert, before the break, we were talking about, the Bible says God is a man of war. And praise the Lord, our King Jesus is victorious. But he fought for us, didn't he?
He really did.
From the Garden of Gethsemane to Calvary's cross to that empty tomb. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Bert, I know last week we had several people that indicated they had accepted Christ listening to the show. And you need to know that you matter to God, folks. Maybe you think that you're not significant. Nobody really cares about you. You know, don't believe that lie. You matter to God so much so that Jesus laid down his life. That's how important you are to Christ. And because he's victorious, we are victorious in him.
Amen. Now, what God does here through this song is describe his victory. And that's all the way again through verse 5. Pharaoh's chariots and his army has been cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. The victory is real. Notice, Alex, I would say it shows completion. You know, completion. And it shows God's deliverance was complete in that. That he, now, the struggle would continue. Wait till you get to the last part of this chapter. Their singing goes into complaining. And then it continues in chapter 16, just to look ahead. And so here, God's victory is real. And then in verse 6, you may want to go back, but I want to introduce this. Notice how God's does his victory. It's through his right hand. Again, the blast of his nostrils in verse 8. And this is what God does. God's weapons are real. They're his, and he uses them what? For us. And so, Alex, when you see Pharaoh's chariots being cast into the sea, the chosen captains drowned in the Red Sea, this is the man of war. And listen, opposing God is a loser. Okay? Just put that down. Opposing God, you are on the losing side, aren't you?
Well, you really are. And there's a lot we could say about that. And I've got some famous quotes about that, but in the interest of time, I'm going to stay with the text. But yeah, I mean, if you reject Jesus, you've missed the very purpose for which you were born. It talks about the depths of the sea covering Pharaoh's chariots. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And listen to this, verse 7, in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sent forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as a heap. And, let me see if I can turn this page. And depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The amazing thing, congealed water piling up. Ordinarily, that's not how water behaves, but Christ controls the elements, and the wind and the water moves at his beck and call. Bert, in verse 7, the word excellency and in God's greatness. You know, the manifestation of God's judgment is a beautiful thing. Now, the Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but yet some people are going to be wicked. Some people are going to reject salvation. And some people know the right, but affirm the wrong. And we're living, you know, folks, maybe you've listened to all this in the news about evolution and transgenderism and abortion on demand and no moral guardrails. And maybe you've agonized within your righteous heart and thought, I wish truth would prevail. Well, truth is going to prevail.
Amen.
Now, we don't want anybody to be lost, but Bert, some people will not be saved.
Listen,
God couldn't have saved them.
Look at all the power.
Would not.
Yeah, look at all the power he demonstrated in Egypt, and they turned away from him. They couldn't duplicate it. Their gods couldn't compete with our God, and yet they still followed their God, except for a few that came out, and you'll find that later. But it says here, notice these terms, has become glorious in power. In his power, he is glorified. Our purpose is to know him and to glorify him. And this is what is happening. And they're singing this song. They're praising God, the right hand. They're trying to express what God has done. They again, put humanity and what we do and our blast of his nostrils, all of that puts it to him. But this is what the Lord has done. And notice it says the enemy in pieces in verse 6. Notice again, he uses enemy in verse 9. I just want to encourage everybody who is listening. Do not stand against God. Come to him. Trust him. That is the side that wins. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have battles. I think there's been some misunderstanding in that, Alex, that a lot of folks thought, man, if I turn my life over to Jesus, it's going to be easy going. It's going to be a you know, rose, you know, petaled. Well, let me just share with you, roses have thorns, okay? And there's some difficulties, but following the Lord brings on what? Victory. And notice, as you said it, it's against nature. You said it about the floods, stood upright like a heap, the depths congealed in the heart of the sea. Listen, God can move mountains, God can open the sea, and God will do that in your life. So you can come to him, trust him. Now, where was the victory won? I heard this, and I thought it was pretty good, Alex. See what you think about it. Now, what had happened in them passing over the Red Sea, you know, Moses held up his rod. And I heard someone say this weekend, said, I think the most important person that we have there is, I know Moses is the one that's recognized holding up the rod, but the first one that dared to go in between the waters.
Amen.
Now, they saw him standing up on a heap, but somebody had to step out and say, okay, God's opened the way. I'm going to do it. Hey, Alex, God's opened his way for us to come to him through Jesus Christ. Who will take that step? Isn't that the question?
You know, I've always admired Peter. Peter got out of the boat to walk on the water. But as much as I revere the Apostle Peter, maybe even more brave than Peter was whoever said, okay, here's dry ground. Let's walk across this Red Sea.
Yeah. Amen.
Look, if you would, at verse 11, folks. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Little g. Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? All right, the word little gods there, we know there's only one God, capital G, the Lord Almighty God, the eternal God, right? The word there, who is like the Lord among the gods, the word really means strengths. Now you think about this, you say, well, there's no God but God, and that's true. But there are a lot of forces in this world. There are strengths. And I think about secularism, culture without God. I think about secular academics, woke education that denies God and truth. I think about the media, Hollywood. you know, the pornography industry, the drug cartels, terrorism, activists that are activating people for the wrong things. There are seats of strength. There are strengths exerting themselves in this world. But who is like all of them? Nobody. God is above it all, you know? And Bert, every now and then, the world can look discouraging. But just remember, folks, there, according to Exodus 15:11, there's nobody like Almighty God. His holiness, his power, the miracles, the wonders, and of course, he is coming back. So, Bert, don't you rejoice in that?
Amen.
There is no God like our Savior, the true God.
Amen. And he has proven himself again and again and again. He really has. And so notice the characteristics that this song shares about. We've talked about his victory. We've talked about his warfare, you know, the right hand, his breath of his nostrils. But notice they go unto his character. Who is this God? This God that is above all the other gods. There is no other gods but him. Notice he is glorious in what? Holiness. He does great wonders. Verse 13, in your mercy. And then again in verse 13, redeemed. And those that he has redeemed, he got what? He guides. Alex, that is what God, he has given of himself to us so that we can be redeemed, so that he can guide us, so that we can be holy, for he is holy, that we can do great and wondrous things following him. This whole verse is 11 through 15, develop the idea of God's character and who he is. Notice what it says in verse 13. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. Where does God want to take you in your life? He wants to take you into a new level. He wants to take you to the place spiritually where you've never been before, redeeming you, guiding you, lifting you up to walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, Alex, again, when I read verses 11 through 15, I know this is Old Testament, but, man, do you see the New Testament being developed there and what he's done for us?
Well, amen. I see that because God's big story is a cohesive, comprehensive story. Now, it talks in verse 13 about his mercy leading the people. All right, now verse 14. It says, the people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold of the inhabitants of where, Bert?
Palestine, that land that Palestine. They're going to go in to conquer. Alex, yes. And let me say this, throw it back to you. When they get there, they find out they've been shaking in their boots for 40 years and while they've been wandering in the wilderness.
Well, you know, Palestine is really the dwelling place of the Philistines, one of the perpetual enemies of Israel. And, you know, we hear so much in the news about anti-Semitism around the world. It's like the racism that is allowed to go unchecked. And there are, you know, left-wing politicians that want to support terrorism. And, you know, we hear about Israel has no right to the land that God gave them from time immemorial. Let me just say, Exodus 15:14, the second book of the Bible. And look, anybody that wants to be saved can be saved if you'll turn to Christ. But it says, sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Palestine. Now, I don't want anybody to be lost. I want people to be saved. But folks, if you're going to stand with God, In that equation, I think you also have to stand with Israel.
Amen, Alex. You are right on. Notice what else he does. He mentions others. Edom, the mighty men of Moab, trembling, will take hold of them. The inhabitants of all of Cana will melt away. In other words, those people that you will battle, and it will be a battle. Joshua, you know, there's that old song, Battle Fit the Body, the Battle of Jericho. Now, that battle was quite unusual, just marching around, blowing their trumpets. They won the battle. But again, the battle, the enemy is real. They were enemies behind them, the Egyptians. there's enemies that is before them. That's the Philistines, as you said, the Edomites, the Moabites, the Canaanites. And so this is God's character is what? Now go back to verse 11 before you look after you've seen the Palestines, Edom, Moab, and Canaan. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? In other words, they're going to face their gods. And guess what? Every one of their false gods is going to fall before Yahweh. Alex, that's our God, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. Our God is victorious. And it talks about in 16 and following, fear and dread falling upon the people that reject God. And they'll be crying out, you know, O Lord, pass over. Bert, during the book of Revelation, people cry out for the rocks to fall on them. But really, the summarization of it in verse 18, the Lord shall reign forever and ever.
Amen.
I mean, this is a theme we see throughout the Bible, that God reigns forever and ever. And be encouraged in that. You know, the Lord is in control. And not only is God at work and His Holy Spirit moving, but right now, well over 2 billion, some think it's 3 billion people in this world are followers of Jesus Christ. God's got His church sprinkled throughout the world too, doesn't He?
He really does. Now, listen to this last verse 17 before we go to the break. Here's the promise. Here's the promise. I've brought you this far, and I've got something for you ahead of you. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling. That is God's promise. He had a promise for them. He has a promise for us. We're going to take your phone calls, and that number, 888-589-8840. We'd love your Bible question today. We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion. And every day, their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.
Hallelujah, we cry. Hallelujah. We're living for your name, Jesus. Hallelujah, we sing. Hallelujah, we cry.
Amen. You know what's interesting about the word hallelujah? Let me see. In Mexican, it's hallelujah. In English, it's hallelujah. In the Danish, it's hallelujah. Hallelujah is one of those, I'd say, universal words, and it's hallelujah. So, Alex, when I say hallelujah, I'm speaking the language, aren't I?
Amen. And we've got a lot to say hallelujah about, don't we?
We really do. Again, yes. I know you're there in Dallas. We've got lines open. We got Gene from Iowa waiting, but we've got lines open. If you got a Bible question, we'd love to hear it. But Alex, tell us a little bit more about NRB and who you've seen and what you're going to be doing there.
Well, just all kinds of people, just a lot of the ministries that we work with, like Revive Our Hearts, you know that ministry?
Yes.
And they've got a lot going on. I want to tell y'all something that we're doing. I'm doing this outside of Exploring the Word, but we've got some conferences coming up beginning in May, and I know that's a ways off, but it's called Conversations That Matter. And I'll be in Myrtle Beach. We've rented some theaters down there. That Myrtle Beach is the number one resort town in America. We're bringing in May 4th, Dinesh D'Souza, one of the great political and Christian thinkers in our time. And then in June, Dr. Gary Chapman, who wrote The Five Love Languages. Then in August, Charlie Kirk. And then in September, Lauren Green from Fox News. So be in prayer. My own website is alexmcfarland.com. And we're going to have the way you can attend these, the registration open just any day now. But May 4th is coming up. And Dinesh D'Souza, one of the greatest speakers you'll ever hear. And Bert, I'm going to be doing two pastor's luncheons. Pastor, leader, anybody is welcome. But on Tuesday, March 25th, and Thursday, March 27th, in South Myrtle Beach and North Myrtle Beach, I want to buy your lunch. And if you're living in the Florence area or Dillon or Charleston or Wilmington, you know, we've got a lot of listeners in all those places. Come, I want to meet you. I'll buy your lunch. And then I'm going to tell you about this speaker series and why biblical worldview is so important. So if you want to come to our promotional luncheons for these conferences, just email me and it'll come to me, alex@alexmcfarland.com, and I'll send you some info about our biblical worldview speaker series.
And the date is May the 4th?
That's our first speaker.
Okay.
But we're doing some, we're going to give posters and some promotional encouragement. Lunch is March 25th or March 27th.
Okay, make sure I got that. Okay, well, our lines are open. And if you got a Bible question, we still got lines open. Prayer request, we have lines open. Let's go to Iowa. Gene, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Everybody knows how Satan come about and that he took a third of the of God's angels to be demons. But where did the was there demons before that and evil spirits?
If there's evidence of that, I don't find them in the Bible, Gene. Alex, have you?
Right. It's funny. Peter, James, and John were the three apostles that followed Jesus. Well, in heaven, prior to the creation, there was Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. Isn't that something?
It is.
Now, one of
they're
the angels.
Aren't they called the archangels?
The archangels.
Yeah.
Lucifer fell, and he took one-third of the angels with him. Revelation 12 talks about Satan swept a third of the angels out of heaven, and they became demons. But Bert, I really don't think prior to that, you know, Isaiah 14 says there was war in heaven. I don't think there was any evil spirits or demons prior to that rebellion in heaven.
I don't either. And what you have in the Garden of Eden is Satan himself, Lucifer himself, doing that trick on Adam and Eve. And but I think that's it, Gene. We really believe that it was those fallen angels, demonic spirits today. And we need to stand with God. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, and part of the reason that Satan attacked the human race, Satan lured Adam and Eve into sin, we are the image bearers. We're made in God's image. Satan could not kill God, so he's tried to harm the ones made in God's image.
Yes.
Really. All the pain, all the tears, the sin, the violence, the evil, it's all come about because of Satan's hatred of God, our Creator.
And we've talked about the enemies this day on and there in Exodus 15. Satan is the head of the enemies against God. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Frank. Frank, thank you for calling.
Hi. Brief for my call. I wanted to ask for prayer for my daughter. Her name is Rebecca Elizabeth. She's got saved about maybe 3 months ago, and she lives with a man that is not saved. She's living with him for 11 years, and she has a daughter of 5 years old. So he's not going to bring anything encouraging to her, to biblical, I mean, but she needs friends. So she works at a nursing home, but she works on a Sunday, and also she needs a babysitter. But that's why she takes her daughter to the babysitter. I mean, to work with her because she works at a nursing home. But she, anyway, I'm trying to say that she needs friends. She needs to go to church. And I asked her yesterday, does she go to church? She said, been there for a while.
Okay. Frank, we're going to pray, and we're asking all of you who are prayer warriors, and I hope that's a lot of you, and those of you that would become a prayer warrior, write the name Rebecca Elizabeth down. She's been saved, but she needs some strength in a marriage of her husband not saved, needs strength for her job, needs specifics, babysitter for her, her daughter. Alex, we got a lot of grandparents that's really on the side pulling for their children and those grandchildren. You know, Alex?
Yeah, yeah. Hey, let's pray together.
Go ahead, Alex. Yes.
Father God, we lift up this person, and Lord, we know that you do all things well. You know what we need even before we ask, but I pray blessing, every provision, and may your Holy Spirit draw them to you. And Lord, draw this family and all the people around closer to each other and closer to you. And in every life concerned, your will be done. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Frank, for listening. Thank you for trusting us with that prayer request. We don't take it lightly, brother. Thank you. Let's go to Illinois and talk to Terrence. By the way, we've got lines open, and that number is 888-589-8840. Give us a prayer request or a call. We'd love to hear from you. Terrence, thank you for calling today.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
You bet, brother.
I have a, this is kind of difficult. I have a former girlfriend. I'm a Christian. She's kind of looking into it. She's got a lot of drug and alcohol addictions, and she's really hit rock bottom. Her name is Annalisa Marie.
Annalisa.
We could pray for her, please.
Okay. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're praying for the victory that's in the possibility in Annalisa Marie. God, you know where she is. You know the circumstances for which she is, and you know what she's thinking before she even thinks it. But Father, we're praying intervention in her life. I pray you'd bring people into her life that would help her and challenge her to walk with you and to follow you and turn away from that which has a grip on her. We're praying for that deliverance, and we trust it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow.
Amen.
Alex,
Amen.
We got a question.
Thank
from
you for
some,
sharing.
Yes,
that.
We do in studio. Here it is. Where do you go when you die as a saved person? Straight to heaven or purgatory? Where do you go, Alex?
As a saved person, immediately into the presence of Christ. You know, our friend Erwin Lutzer wrote a book, 1 Minute After You Die. And he writes, and it's completely biblical, that, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so the idea of soul sleep or, you know, centuries in some dormant stage, that's not really biblical, is it, Bert?
It really is not. So, Will from Mississippi, thank you for your call. We appreciate that. We had Kyle, and I don't know what his question was, and I was ready to go to him, and we're sorry he dropped out. That happens sometime with our equipment, Alex. But again, go ahead and talk about that a little. No, we got Elijah. We got one on, so let's go to him. Okay. Elijah from Louisiana. Thank you for calling.
Hi.
Yes, go right ahead.
Since God is almighty and can do all, why hasn't he removed sin from this world already?
Okay. Elijah, let me tell you, one day it will be removed, but guess what? The penalty of sin, the power of sin, and even the presence of sin is real in a Christian's life, redeemed, sanctified, and glorified. There's going to be a day, Elijah. Alex, why hasn't he done it before now?
You know, that's a wonderful question. God is going to do that. In the very famous book, Robinson Crusoe, remember he was stranded on an island, and he met an islander and shared the gospel. And Friday, his island friend said, if God has all the power, why hasn't God killed Satan? Well, here's the thing. God made us to have a relationship with himself, and we have to decide to choose Jesus. Jesus offers salvation, but he doesn't force it. And so evil is vanquished. Satan is defeated. Christ is coming soon. And Bert, from our timetable, it looks like it's taken a while, but you know, I heard somebody say this, because we know Christ is victorious. You know, what did the Eagles do after they had won the Super Bowl? They played the second half of the game, because they had already won. Christ has already won.
Amen.
And he's coming back.
Elijah, I want to tell you, he is still taking care of sin in our lives. Now, the evil that's in the world, it is there, and it will last until Jesus Christ comes and put his as a footstool and does away with that very idea of sin. That day, the only way that you can be a part of that is trust Jesus Christ as Savior now, so you'll be ready for that day. Let's go to Texas and talk to Charlie. Charlie, thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call, guys. I really appreciate y'all's show. I just was curious. I was listening to a podcast from Sean Ryan, and it had a huge amount. It was from this book based by John Burke, who's a minister out of Austin. And basically, it was near-death experiences, and he tallied research on people for the last 20 years from all different countries and cultures. And I just have a question as a Christian. Can people truly be clinically deceased, whether they're believers or unbelievers, and especially for the unbelievers, can they see visions of God and still come back? I mean, from my understanding of scripture, it doesn't really support that, but you hear all these stories, and especially from Christian ministers, you kind of think maybe there is a possibility of that.
Okay, Charlie. Thank you, brother. Alex, we have to deal with that, and give Charlie an answer here, and we want to get to at least one more call if we have time.
I actually do think, and I want to be very, very precise and careful how I say this, I think the near-death experiences that are at this point well documented in medical research, I think they are valuable in this way, a proof that the soul survives death. There is a non-physical part of the human person that survives clinical death. And conservative scholars like Gary Habermas have written about this extensively. Now, I will say we want to be careful in that. Anything definitively that we affirm about heaven or salvation has to come from the Bible. And virtually all, and I know the book that you speak of by John Burke, Imagine Heaven, and you know, in general, it's a good book. But I want to be careful, because the Bible says Satan can appear as an angel of light. And while virtually all of the NDEs, the near-death experiences, have been Christian in their orientation, there have been people, like there was a very famous lady back in the 80s, Betty J. Eddy,
right,
who claimed that she saw Jesus and he basically said, hey, everybody goes to heaven. Well, that's false. Now, the book by John Burke is good because, for one thing, it's published by Baker. And Baker is a very conservative, trustworthy publisher. So I think NDEs are an indicator of the afterlife. But for the specifics of heaven, hell, and salvation, don't look anywhere beyond God's word.
Amen. David in Texas, what's your prayer request real quickly? Wanted to get to you, brother. Tell us quickly.
Thank you, brothers. Love you guys, and I love you so. Just would like to lift up a prayer for a missionary named Robin, who's from our church, who will be going to Pakistan in May. And that's a very dangerous place, but we just lift up all the prayer warriors to be in prayer for her success and protection.
Amen. We're going to do that. Thank you for calling, David. Write this down. Pakistan, Rob, in missionary. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. And we're going to be back tomorrow. And there's going to be a special edition. You don't want to miss it here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.